Lena, I'm presenting for Lena Gupta and Carrie Olson, who work, we all work for the New York City Department of Health, and I think it's interesting to have me present. They couldn't make it, so they asked me to come. They're in the Epi Services Unit, so they generate all of the data for us at the Health Department. I actually work in the Bureau of Chronic Disease, I'm like, where do I work? Chronic Disease Prevention, and we actually go to them all the time and ask them for their data. So I'm really familiar with what they do, and this is really an overview of kind of the story of how we started collecting local data in New York City and how we use it, and how we've used it to make ourselves accountable to our higher-ups. So they have no disclosures, I have no disclosures. Everybody knows about New York City, and I'm sure you've heard this all before. The newest number updated in 2009 is 8.4 million people in New York City. More than a third of people in New York City are still foreign-born, with the largest concentration of Dominican, Puerto Rican, West Indian, and Chinese outside of their homelands. There's over 200 languages spoken in New York City, so you can imagine the challenges for doing local community surveys. Today, 48% speak a language other than English at home. 32% of people in New York City live below the poverty level, and the South Bronx remains, despite a lot of improvements there, one of the poorest congressional districts in mainland U.S. For those who are old enough to remember, now we say Jimmy Carter, as if that's old, he walked through the South Bronx. The mission statement of the Health Department is to promote and protect the health of all New Yorkers. It's one of the largest local health departments. We have over 6,000 employees, depending on how you count them. We do a lot of surveillance, outbreak response, systems change, and direct healthcare delivery. I'm sorry that I'm reading a lot of this because it's not my presentation. We collect a lot of data to try to understand the population level problems. The biggest commitments when we started this was the issues of disparity and to bring data to communities to empower them to use that data and to empower us to be able to respond to them to have the evidence base to go out there and kind of do work. So this is what New York City looks like. It is five boroughs. The boroughs are counties. In case you don't know, the largest one down there is Staten Island. And then this is my pointer. It's Brooklyn, Queens. That's Manhattan in the lighter blue, and then the Bronx up on top, and then the neighborhoods are kind of outlined there as well, that you cannot read. Prior to 2002, we only had citywide data, and for 8 million people, citywide data doesn't really tell you a lot. It can't really capture the variety across neighborhoods, and when we could get it was the county level data. So these boroughs are counties, but there's more variation, I kind of always say, within boroughs than there are between boroughs. So it's kind of a false setup to start talking about boroughs. The health department has given itself kind of a list of things that we are going to do. So we have a policy statement called Take Care New York. This is the latest, 2012. The first Take Care New York was couple of years ago, it's just updated, but for these 10 areas, we have a series of metrics that we hold ourselves accountable as a health department, and we actually hold ourselves accountable to the mayor's office. So the mayor's office has a management report, an annual management report, so for each one of these areas, if you read down the list, we have up to 10 or 20 different measures that we report to the mayor's office. And when something isn't on target, we have to come up with a reason why we didn't reach our targets. So it's become, this kind of data-driven policy is a real reality in New York City. Every agency has to do something like this. We need detailed data to do this. We have a whole series of different systems that monitor health and health programs across the city. The Community Health Survey, which is based on the Bureau of FSS. We have studies on physical activity and transportation. We have a heart follow-up survey from the Community Health Survey, so we recruit people from those to do follow-up surveys. We just completed a child survey. We have 1 year at least of NYC Haines with biomarkers, and we're trying to do another year given the fiscal constraints. It's been a challenge. We do every other year a youth behavior risk survey. We have hospital-based injury surveillance that's been going on for quite a long time. We do something called FitnessGram that gets biometrics from kids. And this year we're going to have biometric measurements for 1 million children in New York City schools. We have a registry for A1C, and we also have internally an electronic health record project called Primary Care Information. So the Community Health Survey is, going to flip this around, it's a 20 to 30 minute phone survey that's in multiple languages. It's probably an understatement. I think there's a huge amount of languages. There's a cell phone component that's been added. They've been doing this annually since 2002. So we have a random sample of about 300 residents in each of 42 neighborhoods in New York City, so it's a total of around 10,000 a year. It's meant to be representative of all New York City residents, but we also try to get accurate estimates for the 42 neighborhoods. So we have a lot of data. Targeted, you know, what we got from that data is something that we already knew, is the neighborhoods with the kind of the worst kind of health outcomes. And what we did with the data is to support the idea of opening district public health offices, which is an old idea made new again, right? So to have people in the communities working, like everybody was talking about, this need to really work with the communities and get the feedback from the communities. And so these are our three district public health office areas. This just is kind of an illustration of how we use the Community Health Survey data. This is from 2004, and it just shows how, you know, kind of things, the same neighborhoods kind of come up when you look at different kinds of health outcomes. So New Yorkers not eating fruits and vegetables on the previous day. This is the darker colors are the rates where the areas where this is the highest rates, percent obese, percent with diabetes, and we can take every single indicator in New York City and do this with the exception of alcohol consumption, probably, and you get the same map over and over and over again. And what, I mean, I think what's important to highlight here, if I can figure out how to turn this on, the difference between...
The other way, point.
Point that way. I'm not, okay. Oh, I have to hold it down. So this is, like, there's the borough boundary. So this is northern Manhattan and this is the Bronx. They're much more like each other. You know, this comes out, this is the boundary of Brooklyn. It happens to work out there. This is an area of Queens, but you have a lot of areas that are geographically contiguous, but are different areas. So it's important to look at this neighborhood level kinds of data. So the fruits and vegetables, so this just shows how we use this data to develop program areas and to convince people to support it. So we went back to the, our government people, I forget what they're called, to convince them that they need to support and fund a lot of our initiatives, and it was really effective to have data. So this is on fruits and vegetable consumption, so we can give them morbidity, mortality data. We can also say the prevalence of fruit and vegetable consumption by neighborhood. We can look at food access. We work with other, and we've also started to collaborate very closely with other city agencies, so the Department of City Planning, the Department of Transportation, other agencies, and it's a huge resource, and it's just, like, the data just kind of, it explodes. So you can see limited food access, availability matters, that when we do the CHS, that only 18% of people surveyed in Brooklyn could find fresh fruits and vegetables, and 23% could find fruits in their neighborhoods. What we did in response to some of this stuff is to do healthy bodega initiatives, where we see that the food environment is 90% of fruits and vegetables are coming from bodegas. We did a move to 1% milk, so kind of very small incremental changes, partnering with almost 1,000 bodegas to try to get them to sign up on this, into this program, and now move to fruits and vegetables. This has kind of expanded into a Star Bodega campaign, where we're working with bodegas who are committed to doing it, but they get, like, a star from the health department if they make X number of kinds of changes to make food more accessible. And it's been a real partnership with the community and with the bodegas. Another proposal that came directly out of, like, a data-driven proposal was green carts. So we worked with the city council, that's it. We worked with the city council get permits for it. So there's, like, you know, the vendors on the streets in New York City, all those vendor permits are, like, saturated. There are no more. You cannot become a vendor in New York City if you wanted to go out and get it. Like, you can't be a taxi driver either if you want to go buy a medallion, right? They're all gone. So what we did is they created 1,000 vendor permits that are green carts for selling fruits and vegetables, but they're restricted to certain neighborhoods. So the designated green cart areas are those areas. So if you apply for a permit under a green cart, that's great. There's now 1,000 of them available. The only restriction is that you have to be in these designated neighborhoods. So the goal is 1,000. I think there's like kind of like 400. That was a made-up goal. It's another problem of having metrics. But you know, it's a great idea to innovate the kind of between showing government the data and saying, you know, if you do this, freeing up 1,000 permits is a great idea, I think, in an area where people need jobs and there's a need for the fruits and vegetables. Health Bucks was another idea, which is working with farmers markets to give them coupons for purchase of fruits and vegetables, so that for every $5 you spend using an EBT card at the farmers market, you get a $2 health buck. I think this is replicated. We probably took it from somewhere else. But it's, you know, I think this is also gaining momentum in its idea of incentivizing healthier food choices and working with the green, with the farmers markets and with the vendors of the farmers markets so that they can negotiate this thing. They have to get the money back. So there's a lot of moving pieces to it. So sharing data to promote programs to reduce disparities. We also create a lot of reports and we make sure that we do neighborhood specific reports. We have a website that you can get your community's health, you can get data and statistics from the website, an EpiQuery where you run kind of bivariate queries on a whole series of things from our community, from all of those surveys actually. And we also make the data, we have a public use data set for researchers who wanted to download the data and use the data for New York City however they want within the confines of what's available in the public use data. But we made a real effort to get the data back out to the communities and to get it to researchers. And the idea is, if you make 99% of the data available in a way that people can use, they probably won't bug you for the other 1%. So I think it's been a very successful thing. Having said all that, they still answer a lot of data requests. And that's it. And you can get in touch with Lena or Carrie if you have any questions.